What's up, guys? Mike here, host of The Mac Effect, welcoming you guys again to the podcast. I really appreciate all the love and support you guys are continuously giving to The Mac Effect. We're growing slowly, but we're growing. And you know what? I love it because small progress is better than no progress. And it's something that even in my past, I never thought was possible or even capable of doing. So God is continuing to heal. God is continuing to show me His plans are greater than my plans. And I'm glad that I'm moving by His steps, not mine. But with that being said, guys, here we go with another great interview. He is a former colleague. No, scratch that. He is a former boss of mine, bringing in some heavy hitters with you guys. But I want to share a beautiful story that I know is going to bless you guys, because one thing that we do here in the Mac Effect is we get open, we get vulnerable, and we share truth. No andamos con esas cositas de que, you know, indirectas. No, we talk direct. So with that being said, guys, I want to welcome you guys a good friend of mine, Esteban. Esteban, thanks for coming to the Mac Effect, bro.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. So when you got the text message that I wanted to bring you on, what was your first thoughts?
This is my first time I'm ever going to do a podcast. Nervous, you know? I
hope it's not the last.
Nah, first of many.
Okay, of good, many. Good. You know, here at the Mac Effect?
At the Mac Effect.
Or yeah. Anywhere?
Anywhere.
Or should I sign your exclusive rights here right now?
If you want to sign it right now, because, you know, after this, you're going to blow up.
I love it. No, the reason why I wanted to bring you to the Mac Effect, bro, is because the other day when we were hanging out, you mentioned to me that you were raised with your mom and dad at home. And it blessed me because I see in you a lot of confidence. I see someone that is like, you know what? Yeah, it's scary to take certain steps, pero aviéntate. Like, why not? And it blessed me, bro, because I'm someone that, although I do take steps, there is times where I find myself like, I know, like, eso, you know, vas a perder todo, and what's going to happen if people don't like it and all this stuff. So I kind of wanted to bring you on for that, but I also have a surprise rapid questions that I want to ask you at the end, but we'll get to those at the end.
Perfect.
But with that being said, Esteban, tell me a little bit about yourself, like your background, bro, like, where were you raised? Where did you grow up? Like, what? Where was the culture for Esteban?
Well, that's a good question, you know. So, grew up in Long Beach.
Okay.
You know, we moved out. We came from Mexico. I was born in Mexico.
What part of Mexico?
Mexicali.
Let's go.
Yeah. Let's go. Cachanillas. No, but, you know, aside from that, it's, you know, we moved out here in 1992, we came to the U.S. You know, we were in Compton for like a couple months.
Let's go, bro.
After that,
we Compton went to, 26 years. Let's go.
That's right. After that, I went to Long Beach. But, you know, growing up, I grew up in Christianity.
Okay.
You know, so God, you know. And
both your mom and dad?
Both my mom and dad.
Wow.
Yeah. So, long story short, it's funny because the church that we went to here in Long Beach started at my great grandma's house in Mexicali.
Okay.
Yeah.
At her house. What was the temple like?
To be honest, you know, obviously, I don't know much about it, but I just know that, you know, they gathered at my grandma's house and they, you know.
In su casa, there was no official church or nothing. Nope. It was her house.
Yeah, and that's how a church started, you know.
Las sillas de la cocina, de la...
Everything.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, that happened. Both parents, at first my mom was Catholic, you know, but then she converted to Christianity, and you know, she said that was the best thing she's done.
Wow.
So my mom to this day goes to church Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we have to we have to request PTO with her to take time off from church, you know?
For real. Same with my mom, bro. Yeah. Like, she's really like, she loves her church, the one that we've been congregating since we've been little. And on Sundays, like, we have to, like, request it with time and give her the heads up. You're going to have to miss this Sunday, because if not, she won't miss.
Nice. Where's that church at?
It's in Compton.
Okay.
It's se llama Iglesia de Jesucristo Fuente de Vida. Okay. Bro, she doesn't let that church go.
No. So my mom goes to Miel. It was a Lean before. It's in Long Beach, off of Long Beach Boulevard and 52nd Street.
Okay.
So, you know, obviously it's a big congregation.
Mm-hmm.
So they have different ones, you know, in different cities, you know. So now okay. She goes to the one in Riverside.
Okay, nice, yeah. Nice. And How was it being raised in a family that was faith-based? Because mine, my mom was Christian. She converted into Christianity when she was pregnant with me, or somewhere around that time. And my dad, till today, is Catholic. So it was just like a battle between them two on a consistent basis. Yeah. But you were raised in a home. You know, how was that?
I mean, it was good. You know, we did a lot of things, you know, because of my parents, I am where I'm at right now, you know, as far as mentally. You know?
Yeah.
So they play a big part.
Yeah.
And
when did you realize that? Because, like, I hear you right now say, like, I am where I'm at because of my parents. But, like, when you were younger, did you understand that? Or was it until you got older that you're like, crap, like, I have to thank my parents for where I'm at?
No, this was after, right? So this is after I started working. This is my, I was working with EmployBridge, all right? So I was working with them. That's when I realized, you know, obviously I had responsibilities, you know? So kids, you know, I have three kids. I have a 19-year-old, I have a 10-year-old, and a 1-year-old. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like kids change you, you know.
Absolutely.
So having my son actually changed me at a young age, because I could have either walked away or stayed in his life, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I chose to stay in his life, you know. So my responsibility was my kids.
Yeah. Wow. So coming back to the being raised in a household that believed in the Lord, was your family one of those families that was, like, in church every single time that they had an opportunity to and stuff like that, or no?
Yes. So we would go to church Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
All right. And then during the week, they'll
get ours was Wednesday, Friday, Sunday.
Nice.
Every Wednesday, every Friday, every Sunday.
Nice. And then during the week, they used to do, how do you say in Spanish?
Midweek?
Yeah, during the week, like, they'll do, like, they'll gather at somebody's house.
Mm.
And, you know, obviously, you know, they'll take us with them.
Yeah. Okay, nice. Did you like it? And when you grew up, was there some type of resentment where you said, I just don't want church anymore? Like, I've been fed church so much that as soon as I'm 18, I'm kind of out of this.
I actually stopped going to church at 13. So
okay, there you go.
I did baptize. I baptized, you know, I understand what, you know, God was, you know, what he did for us. So it's like you have
the to... The step of needing to be baptized, so you exactly. Understood that.
Yeah. So, you know, to me, I did that, and when I turned 13, you know, I was like, when you're a teenager, you know, you just want to be out and about, you know? So I was always out. I was always out in the streets, and luckily nothing happened to me, you know, because I grew up in Long Beach, and Long Beach is not a city to you grew up in, mm-hmm. You know, if you're a kid.
Yeah. Okay. And... okay, so by 13, you decided to, like, hey, I don't want church anymore. And what was going on after that? How was high school for you?
So, luckily, I never got into any sort of gangs or never did drugs, you know. So, I grew up a kid, a teenager, with God on my mind all the time.
Mm.
You know, it's like when your parents, when you grow up, your parents say, delante de Dios, you know, did you do this, you know? So
tener el temor de Dios.
Exactly. So that's how I always, you know, as a kid, as a teenager, that's how I was. You know, what I did was during the weekend, I always played soccer.
Yeah.
I played at least 5 games, 2 on Saturday and 3 on Sunday.
Like a league or just like a random pickup? League.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, league soccer. So, you know, I was big in sports. And then if not, then I'll just go to my friend's house, which was next door neighbor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, side note, we're going to put a pause and continue on what we're talking about right now. But I have to ask this question, bro. Messi or Ronaldo?
You know, as much as I like to say, it's Messi.
Ooh, interesting. I ask this question a lot, and a lot of people say Ronaldo. So you're one of the first that says Messi. And I think it's Messi. I'm like... He does have more trophies. He has more hardware. Like, how is it that people go to Ronaldo? Although he's really good. But anyways, that's just my thoughts. I'm not too big into soccer. Next question. This is easy, bro. Yeah, easy question, okay? Jordan or LeBron? Easy question, bro.
Best one is Jordan. I'm not a LeBron fan.
We might have to cut this podcast a little sooner than later, guys. No, just kidding. You know, we're going to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Let's not get into that debate.
What do you like about LeBron?
No, you know what, bro? I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I was a big LeBron fan. But once I saw a clip that said that he said, there's no party like a Diddy party. Bro, I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit, but something gave me conviction. And I was like, oh, man, like, don't get me wrong. What he's done on the basketball court, I can say I give so much props to. People say it's longevity. At the end of the day, he takes care of his body so he can have longevity. Like, you got to respect the work ethic that he has. But, yeah, that was something that I was just like, no, bro, like, no manches. Like, I don't know. I just, again, respect everyone's position, but that kind of changed it a little bit, my mind.
No, I agree.
But anyways, now that we're bringing it back to Esteban. All right, so not so much in gangs. How was Esteban academically in school?
I mean, you know.
Straight A's.
I was in a 3.5 student. You know, a 3.5 GPA. You know, but, you know, the one thing a teacher told me once was, don't pay attention to any subject but math. Mm. Because you're always going to be dealing with numbers.
Yeah. Are you dealing with numbers now?
I'm always dealing with numbers. So math is a subject to, you know, if you hate school, just pay attention to math.
Yeah. Okay. All right. After high school, what happens, bro? Are we falling in love? Are we finding romance? Are we just jumping straight into work? What's happening?
So, I mean, I had my son in high school.
How old were you?
I was 17.
Yeah, cabrón, and I was bien calientito.
You already know. I had my son in high school, so I was 17. Dropped out of school. You know, I didn't finish my high school, you know. So I dropped out, and I started working. You know, I started working with my dad. We would do side jobs. We weld, you know. So we would do designs for your houses. But that was it. It was just working. I think.
Well, as a 17-year-old, bro, were you scared at that time? Like, oh, crap, this girl's pregnant. Like, what am I going to do or no?
No, to be honest with you, and there's a friend out there that I told him when I was like 13, I want a kid at a young age. Yeah? Yeah, I wanted a kid at a young age, and I did it. You know, it's like I wanted to grow up. I wanted to grow up with my kids not being too old. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Because a lot of time, I feel like, you know, When you have kids after you're 35, it's like it's already too late.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So.
Oh, tírame piedra, papá. Tírame piedra.
You know.
No, but I'm done, bro. Cuatro, more than enough. I'm good. But okay, so you weren't fearful of that, which is good. This is why I wanted to bring you. This is why I'm sharing with you guys. Like, there's something like you see when I'm talking to him. Like, I'm not saying the guy's arrogant or cocky. No, but there was just something in him that he knew certain things that he wanted. And in my age, when I was his age, no, not at my age, when I was his age, when I was his age at that time, I'm still saying it wrong. When I was 13, 14, and I compare myself to him, I wasn't thinking like him. I was still very, like, just not seeing the world for what it was. I didn't know that I was people-pleasing. My parents were going through a divorce, and I was the kid that was in the middle. So it's just, I want to show the diversity of, like, what you grow up with is going to impact your life and what you're living out. Now, it's not where you're supposed to stay. You're not supposed to stay there and just use the victim card. I've had a rough childhood. I've had a rough this, so therefore I'm destined for failure. No, it's we accept what has happened in the past, we forgive, we let go, and we start building from today. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you to bring that different scale. Because to me, bro, I'll be honest with you, 100% honest with you, not buttering you up or anything, but it blesses me that you have that confidence, that there's something in you that just goes, you're teaching me something.
Yeah.
Like, have it, Mike. Like, don't, why are you so afraid of it? Like, why is it so scary to just make the leap, make the step, you know? And then we'll talk about certain ventures that you're actually doing now, because again, those are things that I'm like, damn, dude, like, de veras? And you got a family and you got this. And it's like, yeah, I'm doing it. So, okay. We're growing up. You have a kid at a young age.
Let me backtrack a little bit, right?
Yeah.
One of the things, right? It's the one thing that I never saw either was my parents fight. They never, at least I'm trying to remember right now, They never, ever fought in front of us, and if they ever did.
Wow.
You know? So that's one thing that for me was, you know, obviously as kids, it's traumatizing when you see your parents fighting, especially, you know, growing up. You know, it's like you see that on the daily. And a lot of times, you know, it sucks, you know, but I didn't get to experience that. So, you know, I thank my parents for that. You know, it's like, hey, you guys really taught us.
Wow. How many siblings are you?
So we're four. I have my older sister and two younger brothers.
Okay. So you're in the middle kind of. Okay. Wow, man. Wow. Again, it blesses me, bro. I'm hearing it and I'm just like never seeing them fight. Your normal is I don't see them fight. My normal, bro, was it's vivid in my head, bro. I have to be honest. I have to be open with you guys. Like, I remember there was a time where they were fighting. It got violent, got physical. My dad tried hitting my mom. My mom, to defend herself, grabbed a casting iron, sopas. My dad's bleeding. And you're like, and right now as I'm speaking it, God's healing something in my heart because it's like, one, you do have to forgive it.
Yeah.
But that was my normal. That was normal for me. Like, oh, we got to call the cops now. It's normal. Like, we got to have them come and settle it down. And I think those little things are the things that I'm trying to teach the viewers, the listeners. You know, those are the differences where we really have to identify. Like, for you, it's not much to identify, but for whoever's listening, it's like figure out what it is, the childhood traumas, to forgive, let go, and move forward. Like for you, it's like you had harmony. So I'm imagining you're trying to bring that into a marriage or into a family.
Correct. So I saw your podcast, the last one with Pastor Rudy, right?
Uh-huh.
So a lot of it was man needing therapy or just people overall.
Yes.
Right. So one of the things you just mentioned was kids that grew up in families that are divorced or go through trauma, that's what, you know, growing up, you're traumatized.
Yep.
So that, you grow with that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like one of the things you say, it's how do you learn to forgive that? Or how do you forgive somebody?
Yeah.
Right? Because at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people do hold grudges on their parents.
100%.
You get me? So
not just parents, everyone, right? Yeah. Like I have family members where my dad doesn't talk to his brother or they get upset and now it's years, bro.
Yes. And then that's another subject too. It's like people like that are it's like they live a life of depression, anger, you know, things like that. You know, it's like, dude, I can tell everybody, yesterday already happened, dude. You're not gonna go back to yesterday.
Yep.
What are you doing moving forward?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, you know, siblings stop talking to each other, you know, and it's like, hey, I'm mad at your uncle. Don't talk to him. It's like, come on now. You guys are being kids right now. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't affect just, you know, your pops. It affects the family.
Yep. Correct. You
know? So, and that's what a lot of people need to understand.
Yeah. So, okay. We're growing up now. You had your kid. Did you decide to marry this woman or did you guys just say, no, it's better, you know, and then what's happening on in your love life? Because I know you have three kids. I'm just trying to figure out how did we get here, you know, with three kids.
I was engaged with my first one.
Okay.
You know, we were engaged. I proposed and everything. But it's I was also an immigrant, right? So I was an immigrant and when, you know, if I would have got married, I could fix my immigration status.
Your papers,
You give me? So, you know, the first one thought that's what I wanted. It's like, hey, no, you just want me for, your, you know, your papers. And I'm like, dude, we're 5 years in, you know, 5 years in and, you know, you have a roof over your head. You know, I provide, you know, it's like if it was for the documents, come on now, you know. So that happened, right? So then, you know, it didn't work out. We separated. I was single for about... five or six years.
Wow.
I was single. And then I dated, you know, dated here and there. But then met my wife at a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work. So we met, you know, it's funny how we met, you know.
Why does it get you emotional?
No, it gets me excited, dude. You know, it's funny because we talk about it all the time. You know, it's like one of the things is me and my wife have a good relationship.
Yeah.
Like, it's like we have a friendship relationship, but we also, you know, We're married.
Yeah. You know? I love it.
Yeah. So me and her, we talk about it all the time. Just like, I think 2 days ago, I was talking to her about it. It's like, hey, remember when you had your red hair? And it's funny because when I saw her, she was in a, if you guys know warehouses, she was in a wrapper pelletizer. And she was right there scanning. And, you know, I seen her from far. And I was like, damn, you know, I got to have her. And, you know, it's funny because I never in my life, and this is me being honest, I've never asked a girl out or asked a girl for anything. Usually they'll ask me. Not being cocky.
Okay, but now we're reaching the borderline of cockiness confidence.
But, you know, it's like, I actually asked her. And when I asked her for a number, you know, and it's funny because I had asked her for her number. And you're working at a warehouse. You can't carry your phone inside. You know, or at least I was that employee that followed the policies, you know. So
that's a hint to what he's actually doing now, guys, because that's very safety precautious. So keep that in mind.
Yes. So it's So we were right there and I was like, hey, you know, can I get your number? And she was like, you know what? I don't have a phone. And she was like, give me your number. And, you know, it's funny because she didn't have a phone. She got a phone that day.
Interesting. Wow.
So, you know, I first thought she was lying. She didn't want me or anything, right? But then, you know, she texts me.
You got to have a beeper, girl. Yeah. Come on. No manches.
I know. At least a two-way. No, but yeah. So, you know, she reached out and, you know, it was cool. I was like, all right, cool. You know, she's interested.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's funny because she even told me her side of the story, right? She was like, hey, you know what? When I saw you, I thought you were the UPS guy because, you know, you always had khaki pants on, khaki shorts. You know, and she was like, and the one thing that attracted me were your legs. I was like, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, this is getting rated R right now.
Yeah,
no,
just so kidding. She was like, you have some nice legs.
Bajate
like,
los pantalones a ver. Right now,
dude, right now. Yeah. But yeah, so that happened, dude. And here we are. You know, here we are. Been together for.
Do you have a picture or no?
A picture
of like back in those days or no?
Me and her?
Yeah.
She's probably in my Google Cloud.
Okay. Well, let me, if you have it, I want to show your picture to the audience, your before, like when you guys first met to now. It's all right because of your booty shorts. Got it, bro. That's right. Okay. And with her, you've been married with her for how long now?
Going, what is it, 2014, 10, 11 years. 11 years 11 together years. And
how many kids?
9 years married.
Okay. How many kids?
Two kids with her.
Two kids. So yeah. You have a total of three.
Three.
All right. Interesting. And what struggles, if any, do you feel that Esteban has ever gone through when it comes to life?
You know, I'll be honest with you. Everybody hits rock bottom. Everybody does. Nobody can say they don't. You know, and I hit rock bottoms multiple times. But it wasn't, to me, what makes me rich is family.
Mm.
You know, it's like having your family makes you rich. But it's like, okay, now I got to provide.
Yeah.
So the one thing you never want to do in life when you hit rock bottom is give up.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people do give up.
Yep.
You know, so giving up is easy. You know, it's getting back up is the hard part.
Yeah.
You know, so to hit rock bottom and get back up, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the struggle that, you know, I had, you know. Luckily, you know, a lot of great things happened. And after that, you know, I started working at Employee Bridge. And, you know, grew up from an on-site all the way to a branch manager.
Okay. So what was el golpe? And we don't have to go into details if you don't want to. But what was the golpe that hit you to rock bottom that you were like, damn, like this got me thinking?
You know what? It was not having money.
Okay.
You know? So, you know, that's the one thing about me is I'm not afraid to speak. Because a lot of times what you speak, people are going through. And people think that they're going through it alone.
Let me ask you a quick question. Because I'm just now I'm kind of being led by the spirit. And I don't know if I'm right or wrong on this. Do you feel like if you don't provide financially to your wife, to your kids, do you feel less of a man?
You know what? No. Because providing, you know, let me go back, right? So it's a no because I'm going to provide regardless. You know, it's as a man, you never want to give up, especially when you have kids.
Yeah.
Because you took on a responsibility to have kids.
Absolutely.
You know, so a lot of times people give up.
Yeah.
Men give up.
Run away. And they never see their kid again. Exactly. Yeah.
And it's like the kid's not at fault.
Yeah.
You know, the kids need they need their parents.
I agree.
You know, so a lot of people, you know, for them, it's easy to just walk away. And that goes back to when I was, you know, a father at a young age.
Yeah.
I could have walked away and said that wasn't my kid, and that's it, you know? But no, it's like, life is beautiful, and that's what people don't see.
Mm.
You know, it's not about money. It's about waking up the next day.
Where does this confidence come from, like, for you? Where does this wisdom for Esteban come from? Because I hear you, like, no, I wouldn't feel less of a man. Because I'm going to be honest with you, Esteban. Yeah. There was a moment in my life where I felt like if I didn't bring in a paycheck,
yeah,
that I was a less of a man. Like, there was something in me that would make me feel like crap.
Yeah.
But after going through healing with my mentors, with my counseling, I agree with everything that you're saying. At some point, claro, nos vamos a levantar,
yeah, yeah,
vamos a trabajar, vamos a luchar, todo eso. God's going to provide or whatever. I'm talking about, like, the time that I was a stay-at-home dad. Like, there were moments in the beginning where I just felt like I'm a failure because I'm not bringing. But through healing, God told me a man, a provider, is not just someone that provides money.
Correct.
He provides a safe place.
Yep.
He provides a healthy environment. He provides presence.
Yeah.
It's okay to be a provider and you buy everything for your kids, but then when it's time for their softball game, for their soccer game, for their basketball game, dad's not there because dad's working.
Correct.
There's no present dad.
There you go.
So God showed me, and is continuing to heal in my heart, there's way more to being a provider than just money.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You know, it's like you said, providing a check. You know, check is money. We need money in order to pay rent,
correct,
pay bills, things like that, right? Food. So that's necessities.
Yeah.
You know, you want to have money for your necessities.
For needs.
You know, for your needs, you know. Food in the fridge, you know. Providing clothes for your kids, you know. So that's a necessity.
Yeah.
You know, anything above that is just extra.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And going back to, obviously, you know, you were working at a company, right? And you stopped your career to be a stay-at-home dad.
I was working with you.
Correct.
With your partners at the time. And yeah, I remember I discussed it with you guys. And you know what's so beautiful is that I told you guys the straight up truth. I said, look, guys, I'm not leaving to go somewhere else.
Right.
This is a sacrifice that I have to do for my family at the time.
Correct. And, you know, it doesn't make you less of a person because you were taking your responsibilities as a father. Right. I remember you said your wife
as a husband.
And you said that, you know, your wife was going to need you, you know. So, obviously, you did what was best for the family, yeah, at that time.
Correct.
You know, so.
That's what I'm telling you guys earlier in the episode. This is my former boss. Like, él era que me decía, ¿por qué llegaste a las 8:02? No son las 7:59, no son las 7. He would check. Nah, I'm just kidding. He wasn't like that. But he was the part owner of the business.
Yes. But yeah, I mean,
okay.
To me, it's what makes you a man. It's, you know, doing what you can for your kids, your wife, you know, doing your father duties, you know.
Allow me to come back to the question, because I'm still trying to figure it out. Where does your wisdom come from?
Yeah, God. Mm. I mean, you know, I listen. You know, the one thing is you gotta have a strong relationship with God, or, you know, whatever it is you believe in.
Yeah.
You get me? So my thing is, it's for 2025, my New Year's resolution was to listen and be honest, you know, because listening, God gives you signs. He gives you signs, or he speaks through you through other people. Other people speak about what they're going through, and it's like you want to listen because God has something to say to them.
Yeah. And then, okay, Esteban, so the wisdom's coming from the Lord.
Right.
And to be honest with you, it's coming from different places. Like, I can tell that it's coming from mom and from dad, yeah, because they gave you a stable home.
Right.
No estás con de que where am I going this weekend? Where am I going that weekend? Like those are the decisions before you make a decision of divorce. It's like you got to take all that into consideration, because I heard someone say when you're going through a divorce, and if you have kids, you're not divorcing the person anymore, because you're still going to have to deal one way or another. Right. I don't know if you want to answer, but was it ever challenging with your first baby mama and your son, like, to be able to visit him and see him and things like that?
You know, it's funny you said that, because as you were saying that, I was thinking about how, and I was gonna mention it earlier, it's how when you have parents that are split, I don't know why, 90% of the time, you're gonna be in a divorce as well.
That's wow. What I see. Wow.
So, you know,
and trip out. Let me give you a statistic that I got through my mentors and my counselors. Divorced couples, after 1 year of being divorced,
yes,
they're asked, did you regret making the decision of divorce? 81% regret making the decision.
Yes.
Trip out, bro. Ahí no paramos. After 2 years, they go to the people and they've asked them, do you regret getting a divorce after 2 years? And after 2 years, ya están con alguien más. It's all that stuff's happening, right? After 2 years, when they're in an environment where they can answer honestly, I have to find the study so I could show it to you guys exactly where to find it and everything. 94%, Esteban, regret getting a divorce.
Yeah.
But you know why that breaks my heart, bro? Because not only is it so close to 100%, which is staggering, it just goes to show you how we are emotional people that make decisions out of emotions, and we have to slow down sometimes.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yes, I 100% agree. That's one of the reasons why I was fighting so much, because I didn't want that to happen. But, you know, things happen and it is what it is.
So it's funny you mentioned all that, right? Because I'm sitting here smiling, right? Because it happens. You know, it's like my parents are still together. You know, my son's mom, their parents split. So me and her split. But even after we split, in the back of my mind, I always knew as a kid that kids that grow up with parents that are not together, they don't end up in their first relationship. They really don't. So my son's mom told me, after me and her, you know, we separated, she did her thing. She's like, hey, I regret what I did to you. I regret leaving you because you were a great guy. Mm. And she was like, and I regret where I'm at right now in life. And it's funny because she's a split, you know, a family, and I'm not. But the whole time I was trying to, you know, save our relationship and stuff like that, right? Why? Because I didn't want to have kids with, you know, multiple women, you know? So it sucks, but hey, here we are. Now, with my wife, my wife now, it's, you know, we don't argue. And she's never seen me mad. She'll let you guys know. She's never seen me mad. She'll see me upset, but I never gotten mad at her. We never got into a physical fight, into an argument where it, you know, we were at the point of, you know, F you, I'm done, I'm walking out. No, we haven't, you know, and that's one of the things that I truly appreciate. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, we have a healthy relationship, or so I like to say, and so does she, you know. We make time for ourselves, right? So at nights, after the kids are asleep, that's our time to hang out, you know. We try to have a date night once a week, and, you know, we'll go and we'll leave the kids, you know, as much as we want to turn the car around and go pick them up. We say, no, let's go. You know, we deserve this, you know? So
do you guys do it every single week, or do you fail sometimes?
No, I mean, you know, we fail sometimes, but, there's times where even during the week, you know, it's not a date night, but me and her will try to sneak out to go to the groceries. And after we go to the groceries, hey, let's go eat real quick, or let's go grab a beer.
Yeah.
You know, so we still make time for ourselves.
Beautiful.
You know, as you grow up.
I love it. I love what you're saying, because it's something that I've shared. We have to be intentional, which is beautiful.
Yeah. And like as a grown up now, it's like those grocery runs. A lot of people say those are dates. You know, you're spending $300. So that's a date, bro. And you're getting food. People don't think that, you know,
you get home, mom, dad, why did it take you guys 6 hours to go to the grocery store? Yeah. Why is mom wearing dad's shirt?
But yeah, you know, so, you know, you get to that point in life where it sucks because not a lot of people get to see it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people always ask me, why are you always so happy? You know, it's because the life I have, the life I choose to have, or the family that I have.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And as I hear you, you bless me, bro, because it's like, Esteban, do you have millions of dollars, bro?
I don't.
Do you have a Lamborghini?
No.
Do you have a mansion?
No.
And yet, look, I'm getting chills, bro, but you're blessing me because it's like, your heart is just like, but I'm happy.
Yeah.
And I think that's only things that the Lord can do. Like, there was a moment, I'm very honest, bro. I'm very honest. There was a moment, like, years ago when I was younger, where I did think about money, and I thought money was happiness and all these things. Like, I'm at an age right now, I've been in an age where I really don't care. Like, I really don't care about money.
Yeah. You know,
I care about the genuine things. Like, I'm going through a really difficult time in my life, but when I have my kids, bro, and when my son tells me, like, Dad, can we play?
Yeah.
Or when my son, my other son tells me, let's go outside. Or, like, my daughter the other day, Esteban, she wanted, you know, tiene 11 años y en la escuela, she has a little bit of hair in her arms, and she wanted to do Nair. And I'm Nairing my baby.
Yeah.
And and when we're done, she hugs me and she just says, thank you, Daddy. Me da un beso. And she goes to her room.
Yeah.
Those are the moments, bro, that I'm just like, okay, you got to keep going for that.
Yeah. Look, I'll tell you this. Money, people die chasing money.
Wow.
Or people, and also people don't get to enjoy their family because they're chasing the money. You know, it's like, you got to have a number to where you can say, you know, I want to make this much a week and we're comfortable, you know, because in life, it's a lot of people.
I love it.
A lot of people don't know what comfortable is. You know, it's like being comfortable is being able to go to the groceries every Sunday or Saturday, you know, whenever you do groceries, go buy groceries for the week. Make sure you're paying the bills. Make sure you're paying your car, your mortgage, you know, it's like you want to have that, but also it's you want to have time for your kids, you know. When I left Flag, you know, I left Flag in February 7th, you know. From there to now, I got to enjoy my kids way more because I get to spend more time with them. So, am I guilty for in the past working a lot? I am, you know. But then you come to the realization that money isn't everything. You know, I chose my family over money.
Yeah.
You know, it's like money is cool. But having a family and being able to have somebody coming up to you saying, Dad, hey, can we go, like you said, go outside and play. You know, it's beautiful. And that's what a lot of people don't get to experience. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like all these billionaires, you know. It's not after probably 10, 15, 20 years that, you know, after they have the company running, they get to enjoy their family. But at that point, it's already too late.
Yeah.
Your kids are alcoholics. You know, it's like your kids are alcoholics. They didn't grow up with a dad.
They have daddy issues, mommy issues.
So it's
bro, there was a story that a pastor once said that there was this fisherman, y el pescaba, and he would get like a gang of fish, right? Like 12 fish, right? And he would go sell it. And then a businessman came over and he's like, dude, why don't you like save up a little bit of that money, buy another boat? And when you buy another boat, you hire someone else and you escalate it. Basically, he was trying to give him the theory, like build a business on this. So then the fisherman was like, and every time he would tell him the next step, he's like, and what for? He's like, because then you can have a building. And what for? Because then you're going to be sitting in an office. You're going to have a lot of money and you're going to be able to provide for your kids. And what for? Because then when you do all those things, you're going to be able to retire and you're going to be able to do whatever the heck you want.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know what's funny? What you just said is everything that you just said, I'm already living that end result.
Yeah.
I'm doing whatever I want already.
Correct.
I'm making enough to have enough to be with my family right now, not just for the last 10 years of my life, but for my entire life.
Yeah.
And the guy was just like, wow, like you slapped me right in my face, bro. And secondly, there's another, hay otro dicho que dice, yo conozco gente tan, tan, tan pobre que lo único que tienen es dinero.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when you work at a company. Perfect example, right? Your employees are asking for PTO. I'm going to go on a vacation. And there's times where you're like, how the hell do you have money to go on vacation? And you over here, you have the better position. You're making more money, but you don't have money or time to take time off.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
Which reminds me, Cameron, I would give him PTO and he would decline it.
But yeah, so it's like, my advice for people, it's never give up in life. You know, you always want to sit down and think about what you're doing. So every day, think about what you did, you know, think about what you did and what would you have changed that day or yesterday, right? Because you can never go back to it. But what can you do to change what you did yesterday that you shouldn't do again the next day?
I love it. I love it. Esteban, if you had your children in front of you right now and they're going through difficult times, and obviously as a dad, like, te duele because you're like, I don't want them to go through difficult times. Like, what would be, and hopefully they're watching this so that they can hear it too, what would be un consejo, an advice that you would give your kids right now?
You never want to give up, and you always want to have faith in God.
That's good. Very simple, but it's so heavy at the same time. Because the minute you say God, bro, estás hablando de algo que it's one of the best things that you can ever do.
Yeah.
Are you guys participating? Like, do you guys go to church consistently as well or not really?
No, not really. You know, okay. It's like, for me, it's, you know, I don't have anything against churches, but, you know, I'm gonna be honest, there's always hypocrites. Anywhere you go, especially in a church, they try to criticize you. You know, I'm a Christian. You know, I've heard it myself. So to me, it's more of believing in God, doing right. I mean, I know the principles of what God wants for us, right? And that's what you have to do is make sure you understand that. Because a lot of people, they go to church their whole life till now, but yet they're doing bad. And at church, they're angels. And it's like, you're not lying to anybody. You know, the only person you're lying to is yourself. You know, so to me, it's, I always tell myself, if God was in front of me, would this be okay?
So good. Which is a trip, right? Because you would think like, well, if you're not congregating, because the Bible does say to congregate. Yeah. So, but I get it. We are going to be surrounded by hypocrites. But no matter where we go, bro, like, yeah, there's going to be hypocrites in Catholic churches.
Oh, yeah.
There's hypocrites at doctor offices, bro, that say that they're hurt or injured when they're really not. Like, you're going to be surrounded by hypocrites no matter where you go.
Correct.
However, I do love the fact that I can feel it, that you do have a fear of the Lord in you.
Yeah.
And many times that I've spoken with you, like, where you'll once in a while say something about, like, you know, God or this or God that, and I'm like, but he doesn't go to church. But wait, but he has the fear, and it's something that... I'm glad that the Lord tugged your heart enough where you always have him thinking there.
Yeah.
But then I also thank your mom and dad, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're the ones that instilled that in you.
Yeah.
And it blesses me because, again, those are things that God shows me the importance of having a mom and dad at home.
Yeah, presence, you know. You know, during the week, I mean, on the weekends, my parents would take me to the games. You know, all my brothers, everybody grew up me at the soccer games with me. You know, so did they like that? I don't know.
I did.
You know, I enjoyed it. You know, we would travel. I traveled a lot.
You never know, bro. I mean, it's not so much about just the games because you're the one playing them, but they're the one sitting over there and maybe dad's buying them snacks. Maybe dad is hugging them and kissing them or mom is hugging them while you're playing. So it's like, you know, we would have to ask them or whatever. Real quick, Esteban. If there's a message, if you had your mom and dad right here in front of you and you have to say something to them, like, you know, that you're either grateful for, that they've done for you, like, what would be something that you would say to your mom and dad?
You know, honestly, I'm very grateful for both of them. You know, it's like my dad taught me to be the man I am today, you know. He taught me that it's important to...
But don't tell me.
Yeah.
You're telling them. They're right here. So you say, mom, dad...
Hey, mom, dad, thank you. Thank you for the life you gave me. You know, did we have it all? We didn't. But we had the necessities and we had the,
And also, you know, you provided a great household. You know, it's like we never saw you guys fight. We never struggled. We always had, you know, food in the fridge, you know, and my dad, you know, thank you for taking me to work at a young age. I was 12 years old when I started working with him. So cutting, welding, grinding, wow. You know, so he gave me skills as a kid, you know. And for my mother, it's, you know, thank you for being the best mom, you know. That made me, now it's like, that's why I'm a good parent, because of the love she gave us, right? So as a guy, you want to have your dad's love and your mother's, because that's what you're going to give to your kids. You know, beautiful. It's like your dad gives you love, you know, but he's always at work.
It's tough love.
And your mom gives you that love as a parent.
The ternura.
Yes. So that, as a guy, you have that because you're giving what your mom gave to you, to your kids. And you have your dad's love, to as a father.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that, bro. I got you to crack a little bit. Guys, yeah. We tried. But, you know, what's beautiful about it is that, like, what he shares is exactly what I'm kind of going through in my healing journey. I share with you guys that I go to Breath of Life. Rudy is my mentor. Tanya is my counselor. And what you just said, that's what I'm getting from both of them at this time right now for the healing that I'm going through. I'm getting the ternura from the mom, which is Tanya, but I'm getting the hard love from Rudy. And not that I don't get it from my physical mom and dad, because I do, but it's the healing part that's very important. Yeah. So it's beautiful. Thank you for sharing those words.
Yeah.
Esteban, so to wrap things up, you were at that company. You decided to leave. You decided to leave and venture on your own, which to me, that's very brave of you, because I'm like, damn it, dude, like, como? Like, you left the place that, you know, you had consistency, you had a paycheck, like, it looked good from the outside. I don't know the full details, but it looked good. You own a company, you're part owner of a company. Like, why would you let it go to do what you... Well, first of all, let the people know what your new venture is.
You know, I'm starting a new staffing firm. You know, it's a skilled trade professional services. You know, continue what I was doing, providing excellence and the great quality.
Okay. Yeah. And my question is, how are you not afraid of failure?
I'm going to go back to it. You know, God always, you got to listen, you know, and it was time for me to venture out. You know, I was like, you know what, this is the year I'm going to venture out. And, you know, I just listened to God. You know, the thing for 2025 was listen, you know, so that's what I did.
Yeah. And vulnerable moment again, right? The first question that comes to my mind is, how are you not afraid of failure? But in his mind, it registers, take a step, take a leap of faith. Like, why is the first question you think, what if it fails? And God is talking to me right now, and he's hitting me hard, where he, right now I felt him ask me, well, what if the question is, what if it succeeds?
Exactly. You know,
man, that's a trip.
It's like, remember I told you last time we met, right? It was the one thing people can't take from you is knowledge. You know, they could take away your car, they could take away your money, they could take away your house. But having that knowledge, having your knowledge, nobody's gonna, what you have is, you know, who you are.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, I'm not going to say I was a perfect kid either, but I went through a lot in life, you know, and to be where I'm at in life now to where I was at before, people would look at me and be like, wow, you know, it's, you know, you became this man, you know, and at the end of the day, it's the knowledge, you know, and that's what people need to understand. It's the knowledge you have, you know, don't give up on yourself.
What's the name of your firm, bro?
EH Services.
All right. I'm going to have that right there. I'll have his contact information, email, phone number, all that good stuff, so that people can reach out. If there's businesses that are listening and you're in need of recruiting services, hit your boy up. He definitely knows he was my boss. He was sometimes teaching me a lot of things. And one of the things that I love about this guy is he's not just BSing you when he's telling you he cares about safety. I'm here to give you witness testimony statement that there is firms, staffing firms, till today that say that they care about safety. They really don't.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't just say it. He really does.
Yes.
And I witnessed it. I saw it. So I love that, because even like on his LinkedIn now, he's constantly posting really good questions that I've never even thought of in my past. And it is a necessity that is needed. And it's something that he provides to his clients. And he's like, dude, I don't just want to fill a role. I want to be a partner in your business. Right. Like, I want to help you to, because it's a teamwork, guys. It's like, if I can help you lessen injuries, lessen cautions, lessen hazardous materials or hazardous environments, bro, like that's the whole point of growth and stuff. So very proud of you for that. Yeah, man.
No, thanks. I mean, the one thing I'm doing different, you know, it's I'm selling safety now. You know, it's safety is something that's been put to the side for years, you know, from a lot of companies.
Yeah.
And the one thing we're coming in is we're doing safety. So, you know, I can't put a lot on there. I can't say a lot because, you know, I want to make sure that the way I'm doing it, I don't want others to mistake it and say, oh, now I'm selling safety, but they're not doing it the right way.
Correct.
You get me? So, yeah.
Correct. And at the end of the day, too, it's like when it comes to recruiting, when it comes to finding the right worker, when it comes to providing safety, all of it is like it's like a tailored suit.
Correct.
For every company, it's going to look a little bit different. Yes, there is rules and regulations that you must follow, but at the end of the day, it has to be tailored to that one because it's not a one size fits all.
No, but the one thing that doesn't change is the process.
Correct.
You know, the process is the same. You know, you want to make sure that you're getting the right candidates.
Correct.
You know, but yeah, every industry is different.
Okay. Nice. Nice. Well, I wish you well in that venture, Esteban. God knows the plans that he has for you. God knows the partners that he has for you. but we'll see what God has in store, man. And thank you for coming. Yeah. Is there anything that maybe I missed that you're like, I kind of want to hit this point?
No, I mean, there's going to be a part two, hopefully, right?
Let's get it.
So for all the listeners, you know, if you guys have questions, you know, feel free to ask this guy. I'll answer some, you know.
Mira este, me quita mi trabajo. That's my job.
That's what I do.
But you know what, bro? That goes to show you that you might have the charisma to do a podcast or maybe a vision of something, a plan that I have for this specific podcast, because that's one thing that I do every end of the episode is I say, guys, any comments, any questions, please send them your way. And I'm saying it right now, guys, if I miss something, if you guys want to ask him a specific question, you'll have his information where you could reach out to him, which is good. You can also comment it. I'll forward it over to him. Or maybe you want to ask me something, let us know. More than happy to cover these topics. Like, hey, I want to know a little bit more about baby mama one, or I want to know a little bit more about, you know, dad or whatever. Ask them away, bro. We're here. We're open books, because one thing that I want to share, and I have shared it with everyone, is that I'm open because I know people can maybe laugh at me, but I do it because I know there's someone out there that says, I love the fact that he's open and he's willing to help others and say, my pain is going to serve a purpose of healing for other people. So,
yeah. No, and let me add this last comment, right? So, I mean, I watch a lot of podcasts, you know, people are always in the talk, and, you know, and for those listeners, you know, if you're out there, you know, hey, you know, a lot of times it's, if you have questions, there's no such thing as a dumb question. Know, it's like, don't give negative comments, negative feedback. It's, hey, you know, I'm going through this in life, because if you're writing some negativity, you're going through something in life.
Yeah.
You know, and just know that there's people out there that truly care. You know, I mean, I know you, but, you know, if you guys have questions where you guys want to DM Mike directly, you know, feel free. You know, that's what we're here for.
Let's get it. Yeah. Let's get it, man. He's going to start up his own podcast after this, guys. But anyways, with that being said, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for continuing showing love and support. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode, the information that we put out there. And I'm so excited to see you guys next week. With that being said, the Mac Effect out.
Thank you, Mike.
Peace, guys. Thank you, Stella.